Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yo, welcome back to another episode of Fistful of Collars, your favorite jiu-jitsu podcast. And, man, this week we are going to talk about all things ADCC related, because
what else are we
talking
about?
I know, right? What else are we going to talk about? We're like 2 weeks out from the biggest Nogi grappling tournament in the world. Myself, Howell, Reed Connell, and Michael Sears are going to break it down for you. So, guys, there's just so much to talk about, right?
Abu Dhabi Combat Club. That's what it stands for. ADCC. Let's start there. Started in 1998, if you guys didn't know, in Abu Dhabi.
Rich history.
Go through the whole history of ADCC.
Actually, if you want to know about ADCC history, especially the super fight, I'd really recommend checking out the Chase Smith, our colleague, who is actually on vacation. How dare he? But he is he's away right now. But he did an amazing interview with Ricardo Amendola. Our commentator stroke analyst stroke ADCC pundit, who's going to be doing the live play-by-play commentary at finals this year. Do you guys check it out?
Yeah, absolutely. It's super good. I love that it's 20 years of ADCC. They were, you know, and Ricardo is such a great historian. He's able to, you know, tell us exactly what happened. If you don't know, fill us in.
Yeah, Ricardo knows everything about ADCC. He's sort of like a jiu-jitsu historian, huh, with his breakdown videos and everything. And also another piece of ADCC content. You just did a two-hour-long interview with Marcelo Garcia. How
Absolutely.
Does that go?
Yeah. Oh, man. I think, you know, we just premiered it on the site yesterday. It was an interview that happened a couple weeks ago. But if you guys haven't checked that one out, definitely check it out. There's a lot of great juicy nuggets in there about, especially if you're interested in more history of ADCC. Nobody has a more storied history at ADCC than the likes of Marcelo Garcia. So just getting able to you know, crack open his brain and pick his brain about some of the, you know, about him fighting Renzo Gracie in 2003 and him, you know, coming back from MMA training in 2009 and going out there until, you know, his prediction for Felipe versus Pena. I mean, Felipe versus Galvao.
Who's he got
this year? I don't know. You have to watch him. You gotta watch it, man. I don't want to shortchange him a little bit. He's got his reasons. So.
Did he have a good take on it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's somebody who has a history with Andre Galvao. He's competed against him a couple times.
How crazy is that? That Andre's history in ADCC goes back so far that his era overlapped with that of Marcelo's.
Marcelo
hasn't competed at ADCC since 2011.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's 8 years ago.
I mean, they can't be very far off in age, right? Because Andre's over 35.
True. Yeah, I guess they're both in their late 30s.
Yeah, Andre's.
Yeah.
Man, I went through the data this week about, you know, analyze the results, and looking at Marcelo's numbers, it's crazy when you see them written down. What
it really
27,
is.
27 wins, 23 of them were submissions. It was like 85% submission rate in his wins at ADCC. It was crazy. Like, he blew away whoever was second. I think second was Gordon at 70% or something.
And it's really interesting because you pulled the wins loss as well, right? And he fought in both the weight class and a bunch of the absolutes. So his win-loss record, he had five losses. Right? Six losses?
27 to 5. Five losses.
27 to 5. Five losses, and only one of those was actually in his weight division. Right?
Yeah. Four of them in the open.
The others were against, like, monsters like Jacare and Drysdale and big dudes.
So yeah. It's incredible.
Only Pablo Popovich was able to beat him that one time in the 1 year. And he had a very interesting story about his whole preparation for that particular ADCC, right, Reed?
Yeah, that one, you know, he had just moved to New York City. Now he has this kind of legendary gym in New York. But at that time, he was still looking for a building, still looking to build his gym. And he came to New York. And you know, he had Pablo Popovich is the match you're talking about in 2009, the finals of the 77-kilogram division. And he was, like, winning, like, the entire match up until the very, very last, like, 20, 30 seconds. You know, and he talks about that in the interview too, how he had this moment of pride, had this moment of ego that showed through, and basically that was kind of, you know, maybe not the only reason, but one of the big reasons why he lost that match. So you know, you said that it was the only match that he lost in his weight class, but that one especially, you know, you talk about you win or learn, you could tell that Marcelo took a lot of great takeaways from that match, from losing that match, and especially the way he lost it. Yeah. I mean, Pablo Popovich is a legend of ADCC as well. He's been competing there for many, many years. So, but yeah, man, incredible privilege to talk to Marcelo Garcia and get to talk to him about all those things. And he, you know, if you're nostalgic for jiu-jitsu or anything, like, I feel like listening to this interview over and over again in the last couple of days, like, Marcelo makes me excited about jiu-jitsu, you know, his philosophy on jiu-jitsu, the lens that he looks at jiu-jitsu through, he really makes me excited about jiu-jitsu.
Man, I gotta say, it is unmissable. It really is. Like, there's just so much good stuff in that interview. I mean, 2 hours with an ADCC legend like that, I learned so much. Because I think Marcelo as well, right, he's so quiet, unassuming, incredibly humble. And I think a lot of the stuff that he revealed to you in that interview, like, I don't think anybody's ever heard before, right? Like, the stuff about how kind of Pablo's coaches got into his head in that final, the stuff about how his training was, like, far from optimal running up to that tournament. I'd never heard that before because Marcelo doesn't make excuses, right? So, yeah. You just, man, you managed to peel back so many layers in that. It was a real privilege. So, yeah. Great job, dude.
Sweet. Thanks, guys.
How much does he get into? Because I think also an incredible start. Does he get into his first title at all in there?
We talk a lot about.
Because of what he lost in the trials and then comes out and dominates at ADCC. It's got to be a pretty crazy story.
Yeah, it's we talk a lot about that. You know, we're talking about, I think maybe we're talking about greatest debuts in ADCC history. You know, I see a lot of people talking about Gordon Ryan, his debut, and some other guys. But, yeah, you talk about great debuts. I mean, you got to put Marcelo on that list because...
It's one of the most memorable.
Exactly. I mean, and he really set the stage for me. You know, I'm you know... have come to jiu-jitsu only in the last five, six years, so there's a lot of history that I wasn't present for,
right?
You know, and so a lot of these nuances of those earlier tournaments is, you know, I don't know, and I've never heard. So hearing him talking about losing to Daniel Moraes in the trials, and then having to wait for months, and you know, not knowing if he's in or if he's out, you know, and then finally at the very last minute getting his spot and basically looking at his bracket and seeing that his side of the bracket was like
Enzo, Shaolin.
I think Enzo had already won it a couple times.
Yeah, he was already like a two-time, three-time ADCC champion. Yeah. And
Shaolin was a multiple-time Jiu-Jitsu world champion in the gi, like legend already.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He was saying that like he was a blue belt and Shaolin was already a black belt. You know, that's like the generational gap there. They're similar age, but.
Was crazy. That was amazing. Didn't Marcelo compete in like a gi tournament the week before ADCC as well?
He said the week after.
After.
So he became an ADCC world champion, and then Fabio Grigio was like, "Hey, we already put your name down.
Yeah, you registered.
You gotta come to this thing the next weekend in the gi, and not only that, but he had to fight a brown belt.
He had to fight
a brown belt who had already beaten him.
Wow.
So he was like, I'm an ACC champion now, and now the next weekend I gotta put on the gi and I have to fight these brown belts, and if I lose to a brown belt after just becoming an ACC champion, it's gonna like wipe everything away.
Yeah, you look at, I mean, you talk about best debuts.
Yeah,
you look at his run and his weight class is pretty flawless. 3 subs, and then the only one that wasn't a sub was 9-0 against Henzo. That's I mean, it's a pretty flawless run there when you're talking about best debuts. It's hard to do better than that. I mean, obviously, we're talking about Gordon, but...
I mean, can you imagine, you know, just like being a no-name basketball player and then like your first match at like the big leagues is against Michael Jordan.
And yeah. you
like,
dunk on him.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and, shut him out. Shut yeah. Henzo out, 9-0.
Like, can you imagine like being somebody that not many people have heard of, you know, not, no credentials at black belt really at all, and then to go in and fight like a Michael Jordan, like a Henzo Gracie, you know, this guy's a legend. Anybody yeah. who was doing jiu-jitsu at that time revered Henzo Gracie.
Be like if like Richard Alacone or somebody shows up and just taps his way through the bracket. Yeah, and, right. That kind of crazy.
Literally, yeah, it yeah. really is. Yeah, that's actually a great analogy. To put it into perspective, that's exactly what it would be like. So
the 16th seed coming in and basically the guy who wasn't even supposed to be there
the day
yeah. before.
Yeah.
It really, you know, you talk about things kind of lining up and you talk about kind of, you know, destiny or things that are meant to happen. Mm-hmm. That really looks like it to me. It looks like, man, obviously it's a lot of hard work, but to see what Marcelo did in that tournament was special. But maybe not the best debut. Who knows? There's been a lot of good debuts.
We ran the numbers and, you know, when you talk about best ADCC debuts, of course, Marcelo is one of the first ones that comes to mind, right? Obviously, because it was such a legendary performance and kickstarted this incredible legacy that lasted for so many years. But the sheer numbers, just looking at just purely at stats, it's hard to argue against Gordon Ryan having the best ADCC debut of all time. Because we looked at it. In 2017, he had 8 matches. He went 7-1, of course, only losing in the absolute final by points to Felipe Pena. But he had 4 matches in his weight division and another 3 before hitting the final in the absolute, where he won. Of those 7 matches that he won, 5 submissions. And look at the names that he beat. Opening round, Dylan Danis won on points. Second round, Romulo Bahal submitted him. Third round, Shanji Hibeiro beat him on points. Final in the weight class, submitted Keenan. And then in the absolute division, he submitted Cyborg, Craig Jones, and Muhammad Ali before hitting that final. That is phenomenal, right? I don't think there's any argument. Love him or hate him, and I know that people really fall into one or the other when it comes to Gordon. That is just, that's incredible, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that stands, if you're talking about, I mean, obviously it's different eras, it's hard to compare him, but that's something that stands out. If you're comparing Gordon's debut to Marcelo's, is the names. Like, you look through Gordon's, It's all superstars. All yeah. 8 people he fought. I mean, Marcelo's got, you know, the guy from Japan, Kunioko. He's got Otto Olsen, Van Arsdale. I mean,
These were not huge names.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, he beat some legends there too. But I mean, Gordon won 7 straight against superstars.
Literally,
before he lost to Felipe Pena.
The world, yeah. And I gotta say, I think people have mentioned it before as well, but Gordon's path to the final in both of those brackets, probably some of the toughest you could hope for, right? Or not hope
Dylan
for.
Dylan Danis, but first round. I mean, you could get a trials winner first round. You got Dylan Danis very, very first off the bat.
I got to say, though, we were so excited when we saw that bracket.
Yeah.
Can you remember when they dropped those brackets? It was in the lobby of the hotel, like just a 10-minute walk from the arena where all the fighters were staying. And it's kind of, you know, it was a little bit old school. We have some big plans for the bracket reveal this year, right? We're going to do the whole live experience. We're going to have like a show, and it's going to be a big production around how the brackets are dropped. But like in previous years, it's literally been scrawling the names on a piece of paper and then slapping it up on the wall. And it's kind of, we've talked about this before, I think, but to give it a bit of perspective, like all the guys, the paper was like pasted on a window right there in the lobby, and all the guys running over to see who they got first round match. And I just remember Leandro kind of like looking at it and turning to me and going, "Do you know what this Craig Jones guy is?"
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Never
yeah.
heard of him. Like, but you know, hey, we won't be doing that this year. The brackets, yeah. The whole reveal is going to be completely different. So.
Yeah, but, definitely. I mean, it's hard to argue unequivocally. I mean, that is a extremely tough bracket that he had to fight through.
And the absolute as well.
And the absolute, you know, definitely. Anytime you win or you make it to the absolute finals, that's a solid feather in the cap. And man, you can't deny that absolute bracket, man. He didn't spend a lot of time in that absolute bracket besides the Felipe Pena match either.
Right.
I mean, Cyborg and Muhammad matches were pretty quick, I remember. I forget how long the Craig Jones match was, but
not that long, but you're right. Cyborg and Muhammad were quick kills, right?
Super quick.
And think about this as well. Cyborg, first round in the absolute division, Cyborg was a previous ADCC absolute champion and super fight challenger. So that's like about as tough as first round matches you can get. And of course, this is before they had the history together, right? With, you know,
and Homelo
and
Homelo's second round,
Homelo and Shanji, both ADCC champions there as well.
ADCC silver medalist Keenan. Yeah,
they had to fight three ADCC champions. That's pretty sick.
It is.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to argue. Gordon had a great debut. I don't know. Is any other solid debuts that we're missing? Or
I mean, those are the two that stick out to me the most. Yeah. I gotta say, I don't think it's possible to really argue against Gordon having a better.
Well, how about this year then? Right, who's primed to have a great debut this year? Who's primed to beat out Gordon's debut? Anybody?
Somebody I wouldn't sleep on at 66 is Mateus Gabriel.
Mateus Gabriel.
That guy was on fire his first year at the Black Belt. One pants and then tap Marcio Andre in the finals at Worlds. He'd be somebody to keep an eye on. I could see him having a great debut. I mean, it's a tough bracket, though. I'm not going to put anything past that guy at this point.
Yeah.
I got to say, though, one thing about Mateus, and I hate to be the party pooper, but, you know, when it comes to no-gi, Mateus doesn't have quite the credentials, right? Of course, he was phenomenal in the gi, as you said, tapping Marcio Andre in the final this year. But I keep mentioning it, but let's not forget that Kennedy Maciel choked out Mateus Gabriel cold first round of no-gi Worlds last December.
That was absolutely so sick. Those
I mean,
guys.
That's a rematch that obviously we want to see. But it's like, you know, Mateus Gabriel, hot prospect, not denying his credentials or his abilities, but I keep having to go back to that. But it could be a factor in actually spurring him to come back and to kind of rewrite history, right? To say, hey, I've got in no-gi as well. So
yeah, that was no-gi Worlds 2018, right? That was at the end of last year. So it has been a little bit. And since then, he has, like Michael said, since then he's been on fire in the gi. Won pans. Beat Hinato Kanuto at PANS, and then won...
No, he beat Jamil at PANS.
I'm sorry. Beat Jamil at PANS, and then won Worlds, like you said, tapped Marcio. Like, he's been fun to watch. And he had the rematch with Kennedy at PANS, too.
He did have the rematch,
snapped his arm. Yeah. He's a finisher, too. Like, we're looking at the guys with the best debuts, Marcelo and Gordon. They're finishers. You know, they went out there against guys they were, underdogs against, and got on a submission. Mateus is that type of guy. He gets after the submission, might be able to knock off some higher ranked people with it.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's a couple of guys in the over 99 kilogram division who are making their debuts. Guys like Nick Rodriguez. Everybody's very, very excited to see.
Be first blue belt to win ADCC.
Oh
maybe.
My God! Could you imagine?
I don't know who would rank Mark Kerr, but yeah, he'd be the first blue belt.
Yeah, technically white. Mark Kerr was a white belt, but Nick Rodriguez is obviously a phenomenal talent. I'm super excited to see because. Because stylistically, you were saying that you think that he's got what it gets. He's got what it takes to gonna mess some people up, right?
I mean, definitely. I mean, man, have you seen this guy?
Have
you seen this guy? And he's so athletic. He loves the grind, which is a big important part for winning ADCC. He loves to work hard. It looks like he's putting in the work this time, and he's going to be hard to take down, man. He's going to be hard to get on the ground. And
is there a better wrestler in that division? Over 99 kilogram. Is there a better wrestler than Nick Rodriguez in that division?
Man, that's a good question.
It's tough to, I mean,
look who we got. We got Buchecha. We got guys like Yuri Samoys, we got Orlando Sanchez, Cyborg, Jared Dopp, Joao Gabriel,
really good wrestling,
Kynan, Muhammad Ali. These are all guys who we know can fight on their feet, right? But can any of them get Nick down?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, jiu-jitsu wrestling is different than real wrestling. ADCC, when you get the submissions in there and everything. And even if you get it down, I mean, something I think that's working in Nick's favor is he's not just a wrestler. Look at the camp he's working with.
Right.
I mean, you would think with a guy like him, oh, maybe sit down and try and leg lock him. But, I mean, look at the room that he's in. I mean, he's
going
to be...
People are going after his ankles all the time, right?
He's going to be hit to that stuff, for sure.
And what have we been talking about, I feel like, these last several months? Or even we've been hearing Danaher talk about it. We've been hearing Keenan talk about it. You know, this idea of the no-gi metagame. Takedowns, leg locks.
Yes.
And that is what Nick Rodriguez has. Like that is his game. Takedowns and leg locks.
What was that quote that he told Danaher that you guys were chatting about in your interview?
Yeah, it's great, right? He says if it's under the eyebrows, I can finish the choke or something like that, you know?
So he just rear naked chokes the face. It's like and he can get it.
And I think about it and he could finish me under the eyebrows probably. Get off my face, bro.
But I mean, the 99 kilogram division, over 99 kilogram division, is incredibly deep. It's incredibly competitive, and you know, when it's somebody like Nick Rodriguez, that physically, I think we all are very aware of like his takedown ability, his athleticism, his developing technical skills. If he's going to get caught, I feel like it's probably during a takedown attempt that, you know, some of these more savvy jiu-jitsu guys will try and lock up a guillotine or maybe get the back off a takedown or something. But the one thing that I have noticed as well about Nick is that, especially for a big guy, I find this absolutely phenomenal. He's got a gas tank for days. This is the thing. We've seen him do like 15-minute pro super fights. You know, he was on Polaris just like last week or whatever. And 15 minutes, he's cartwheeling the entire time. He doesn't slow down. That is actually a huge asset against some of these big guys.
Yeah, wear them out. Absolutely. Yeah. They got a lot of weight to carry around.
Yeah, I feel like that, like I said, he loves the grind. I feel like he likes to outgrind people and stuff, that wrestler mentality. And I think that goes a long way in ADCC.
Couple it's going to be tough to make a mark in that division, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking a lot about Nick, but man, you look at that division, and it's like there's some guys who are pretty good at jiu-jitsu in that division.
Couple first-timers I could see, if they get on a roll, you know, if they get hot, they could do something at 99, is Gaudio and Hulk. Patrick Gaudio and Hulk are both.
Both first-timers.
Right? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, Hulk, years ago, double gold at Nogi World already, so it's weird talking about him as a rookie, but yeah, it's his debut at ADCC.
And Gaudio looked, he looked great at the recent Kasai Pro Super Fight against Kylan Duarte. And
Gaudio's scrappy.
And he didn't look as kind of like, let's say, on fire at the IBJJF Heavyweight Grand Prix. A little bit more cautious against Joao Gabriel, but that's understandable, right?
Yeah.
Tough. Going up against a big guy like him, but still, looks solid.
Yeah, Lucas is a guy who could be primed for
another huge
ADCC debut.
He's got to get through Gordon, Keenan. It's another tough.
Yeah, you got to think that he'll probably do the absolute.
Vinny Magalhaes.
You know, I think, like we talked about last time, Andre, I think, is really hoping to pass the torch. If he can win his super fight, and he's hoping that either Kynan or Lucas will win the absolute division, and he can pass the torch to his students. So you have to think that maybe he'll do that. So he could be a good bet for a solid ADCC debut.
Well, you just mentioned a perfect thing right there about the absolute title. And let's take an early look. Obviously, we have no idea who is going to sign up for the absolute division yet. They don't even open the registrations until the Sunday morning or during just after the last final is done. They take the names to the absolute division. But who would you guys like to see in the absolute this year?
I mean, the obvious ones that everybody, you know, is going to be in there if they don't get hurt or something, is Gordon and Buchecha, right? Those are the favorites. But after them, I guess the question is who you would like to see in there. I mean, I'm wondering out of Atos, because they're probably only letting them put one person, I'd imagine.
Maximum two.
ADCC? So you think they could do Kynan and Hulk both in there?
But they would have to be on the same side of the bracket. There's no getting around that, so.
I mean, Cyborg just looked good in Vegas. I mean, his former champ there.
He even said, right? He even said after winning the $40,000 in Vegas, we spoke to him, and he even said, he's like, I'm coming for the ADCC Absolute gold medal. That would actually make him the only person to win the ADCC Absolute title twice, because nobody's ever done it more than once, because usually you get the Absolute title and you go to the super fight, and many people have, you know, won the super fight or lost and just said, okay, I'm done with ADCC. You know, but Cyborg is still around, and he really wants to get that and kind of make it to the super fight again. That would be incredible, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be nuts.
I think maybe somebody like an Orlando Sanchez is somebody who we haven't seen do the absolute division, I believe, ever.
That's right. No, never seen him do absolute.
I think he's kind of been behind Homolo and Felipe Pena in the Gracie Baja pecking order.
Right.
So we haven't seen him, but maybe this year, you know, there's nobody else.
Big O,
so you could see, you know, Orlando take his shot at absolute gold for the first time.
That's a very smart observation, actually, because Gracie Baja doesn't have anybody else either 99 or over 99.
Yeah, they got Arges at 88.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They got Arges and, that's it. So Wow.
Talking about Cyborg winning, how wild would it be if Cyborg wins it? Gavao wins the super fight. 2021, we have two 40-year-old guys. The super fight. Veterans match slash super fight. It'd be wild.
Hard earned, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's tough, man. We were talking about great ADCC debuts, and they don't come around too often, you know? Yeah. Because, like, a lot of these guys, it's a tough thing to do.
They have to chip away at it.
You
right?
do. Like, yeah. I was talking with Craig Jones, you know, and Gianni as well, Grippo. They were both there in 2015. You know, and you know, Craig had a quick night of work in 2015. Gianni had fared a little bit better, but
I think he lost to Cobrinha in the second match, right?
In the quarterfinals, you know, but I think, excuse me, for a lot of these guys, you have to kind of go out there and feel it out, because there's just something different about ADCC, you know, and it is hard to go out there and you know, run the gamut on this tournament, because, you know, we were just looking a little bit of just kind of put together our own little dream brackets and everything like that, and it's like, man, every one of these matches is going to be a final at any other tournament. Like, you know, and it's not just like hyperbole, you know, it's you really, when you break it down, you look at who's in each of these brackets and you put together these matchups, everyone is fire. So it is hard to win, especially your first year.
Yeah, you just nailed it on the head. And I think a big factor as well is that the ADCC rule set is so different to everything else. So a lot of these guys, they need like one or two goes at it to just really get accustomed to the format as much as anything, right? Because unless you're lucky enough to go out there and just submit everybody, yeah. The ADCC rules are so unique and they're so different, and it's very tough to walk in and immediately kind of like perform well under that particular rule structure.
Sorry, even Roger, like I was looking at the numbers, even Roger was like 3-1 with no subs in his first time, and then he shows up a second time, and then he's really Roger, taps eight people at the second time there.
For double gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you know, about Roger kind of winning that absolute with all submissions, I mean, that's probably one of the best absolute performances ever, right?
That's just insane. How do you show up at ACC and tap eight out of eight people? I mean,
well, as we were saying earlier, Gordon did 3 out of 4 in his absolute run, and they were no slouches, right?
Yeah, but yeah. Maybe Gordon can match that this time. We'll see.
You mentioned about how, you know, Gordon Buchecher are the two names that, you know, everybody wants to see in the absolute, and I completely agree. Of course, I don't disagree for one second, but I am wondering, like, is it feasible that we could see that match in the final, Gordon versus Buchecher?
We got to see it finally, right? We've been waiting to see it forever. We missed out on it last time. We thought we were going to see it in Vegas. Like,
if it's going to happen anywhere, it seems like it's got to happen here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we got it.
No, I think, I mean, talking to those guys, you know, and just knowing them a little bit these last few years, and you know, like we talked about this a little bit before, but both of them, you know, basically Buchecher has won everything there is to win except for the ADCC Absolute title. He's been to the finals before, but he didn't win it. And you know, what is he now? 13-time IBJJF World Champion.
Yeah, 13 or 14,
something like
that's
that.
Insane.
So
nobody's going to catch him. Yeah.
He's won just about everything there is to win. You know, you got to think that his sights are set solely on this absolute title. Gordon, the same thing. He's you know, he already had the greatest debut in ADCC history, but the absolute title eluded him. Not to say that I think these guys are going to like, maybe let up in their weight class a little bit, but I do think
they'll be looking forward a little bit.
That the main goal for both of them will be the absolute title, and I think that was something that happened to Buchecher. You could kind of tell in 2017, like, he was just exhausted.
Yeah, he was worn out. Yeah,
he had
just come off pushing Orlando Sanchez around for like 30-40 minutes.
Right? Exactly. Orlando's a hard guy to move. Yeah,
and then he had the Shanji War, which is an incredible match. And then
probably
he had
one of the most overlooked matches and one of the best matches from IEC.
And then he was looking down the pipe with Felipe Pena. You know, it's just like legend after legend after legend. You know, and at some point it wears on you. So I think these guys who are a little smarter, who've been through this tournament a couple times, who know what they want, and that's an ADCC Absolute title, they'll be a little bit more strategic.
Save a little bit in their gas tank for the Absolute. We're talking about guys.
Can I ask you something real quick? I want you guys to both give me the picks.
Nicky Ryan.
If Gordon Buchecher make it to the Absolute final, who takes it and how?
We're going to start with me? All right. This is a tough one. You know, I don't know. Gordon's coming off that injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't, I mean, Buchecher struggled to get it done in the open class, but I mean, God, This is a tough
it's
one.
It's so hard, man. Really is. You're thinking about it.
I'll go with Buchecha. I'll say Buchecha finally gets it. He's this will be his third time coming there. He's won everything else. Maybe just Buchecha out wrestles him. I don't know. But I could see it going either way. Yeah.
I think you've nailed a few things there about the size difference that we saw that, you know, Gordon had his moments against João Gabriel. You know, João Gabriel is probably one of the few people physically who kind of matches Buchecha's stature, right? And he found him hard to move, but he had his moments there. You have to think that that was a fresh João Gabriel, but, you know, potentially this is Buchecha after seven matches, so whether it'd be easier to crack that shell. But the fact that Gordon has been inactive for so long, is that going to be a factor? You know, his knee was still, you know, he's been very open about the fact that it's touch and go whether he would compete, and, you know, it's seem like it's anywhere 100%, right?
Just pulled out in Vegas, right?
Right, because he wanted to kind of look after it. So what do you think, Reed?
Like I said, it's a tough one to call. It's hard to pick against either guy because either guy has accomplished so much. But, you know, just going through what Gordon did last time in ADCC 2017, I think I'll take Gordon. It just looks like his rule set. It just looks like his preferred style of grappling. You know, you got those heel hooks in there now.
Well, Buchecha has lost via heel hook, right? He lost, I think. Oh, no, actually, no, I may be wrong. Down. No, sorry. No, I got that wrong because we were talking about it earlier. Buchecha has won by heel hook.
Yeah, he's actually a heel hook machine. He's got two heel hooks
at ADCC.
And he heel hooked João Gabriel
in 2013.
In 2013.
But my question was going to be about the heel hooks. Do you think that Buchecha has got the technology? Do you think that he is up to speed with the leg lock game? I know he dropped into Henzo's that one day that you were there, right? And no surprise, they were working on leg locks. But
that was incredible, right?
What do you think?
Vinny Magalhães heel hooked Buchecha in 2011 at the Ultimate Absolute. Knew it. So that's what you were talking about.
That's the one. He knew that he'd lost by heel hook in the past, yes. So anyway, what do you think? Do you think the Buchecha has got the answer for Gordon Ryan's heel hooks and leg locking?
I would have to assume that he does.
Just beast mode out of it, right? Just turn and kick and Buchecha out of
it. We've seen Muhammad Ali attempt that technique, and that didn't work out. Twice.
True.
Buchecha's about 30 more pounds, though, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I think these days, I do feel like most people, you know, with the DVDs that have come out and with how dominant a lot of the heel hookers in 2017, 2018 were, I feel like, you know, everybody's studying up. Everybody's doing their knowledge.
It's
doing their
not a secret anymore, is it? There's no excuse to be clueless about this.
Pergisa's his boy too. Maybe Pergisa's shared some tips with Buchecha about countering those leg entries. Who knows? They're training together all the time.
That's not to say that I don't think that Gordon could still, you know, catch anybody. Of course, right? It's jiu-jitsu. Those things can happen. But I think Buchecha will be ready. He's like a Tesla combined with like an old muscle car combined with like, you know.
You could tell me that that Gordon, I would not be surprised if he showed up in Hydra to tell you the truth. I mean, he tapped five guys last time. If he tapped eight, I'm picking Buchecha now, but I wouldn't be surprised if Gordon shows up and taps everybody. When he gets going, he's pretty
I'm
hard
looking
to deal
at
with.
The under 99 kilogram division, and it is very competitive, right? I think it is less competitive than the 88 kilogram division was last time around, though. Like, there are some very, very good guys in this under 99 kilogram division. I'm talking about guys like Keenan, Vinny Magalhães, Gaugio, Hulk, Panzer, Jackson Souza, Dylan Danis, Fleepy Andrew. But really, do we see any of them taking out Gordon? Like, honestly, I'm not so sure that they would. Like, a couple guys could do their best to try and avoid Gordon's
Vinny's
game.
Vinny's got a points win over him. But,
he does, but are any of them going to beat Gordon? Like, actually beat him? I don't think that they are. I really don't.
There's definitely a lot of question marks. Like, you brought up some good points that we haven't seen Gordon in a little while. You know, he's got the knee injury. You know, we don't know exactly what is how rehabilitated that is. So there are some question marks. You're right. And I do like that Vinny and of course a couple of the other guys in there. You know, Keenan, the match with Keenan was a good match up until he submitted him.
Well, let me ask this. Who's the biggest threat?
And Hulk.
I'd say Hulk, right?
Okay. Who's the biggest threat at 99 kilograms for Gordon? Like, who in there of those 16 guys?
Hulk's wrestling looks strong in Vegas. I mean, Hulk, I believe, he had a close one with Gordon. I mean, this is ages ago.
Fight to win.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of those matches where Gordon sits, Hulk stays on the outside, tries to pass a little bit, goes back, tries to pass a little bit, goes back,
yep.
And then just like nothing happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, is that really a match? Like, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens.
They were on the mat together.
Right? Yeah.
True.
I'd say Hulk is the biggest threat, in my opinion.
Okay. Interesting. What do you think, Reed?
Yeah, I think Hulk's a good one, but, you know, you can't sleep on the 2015 Absolute Champion, ADCC Absolute Champion, Claudio Colasans, as well. You know, he's, I don't believe he's ever won his weight class, but he does have an absolute title in there, and he's, you know, he's the only guy in that bracket with an absolute title. So
it's wild he's at 99, right? Like, he seems like he'd be an 88 guy, could possibly even make 77. He fights middleweight, really? Usually.
Yeah.
I'm calling it now. I think that Gaudio is the biggest threat for Gordon.
Gaudio had a close one with him at Nogi
Worlds.
He did
have a close one. He lost by one advantage. One advantage, 4-4, 2-1 advantages for
at
Gordon.
Worlds, yeah.
And he did not seem fazed by the leg game.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting, because remember Gordon was using that inside Sankaku, whatever they call it, you know, the saddle position.
Yeah.
There you go, thank you, the saddle position.
4-11.
Honey hole, whatever you want to call it. John Danaher hates the name the honey hole.
We got to come up with official terms for us to go for.
He hits that saddle position, and he was sweeping guys with it, right? Because of course you can't heel hook in IBJJF, but everybody else was kind of like getting in that position, and you could just see the panic on their
looking
faces,
at the ref,
right?
Wanting a reaping call. Yeah. How often did you see that?
But Gaudio was just stone faced, like, bring it. Like, just didn't have a problem with it. And think about Gaudio as well. Like, physically, we know he's very, very tough, right? He's just a really solid, solid dude. But he's got a very, very good, underrated guard game. And you've seen
guard,
this yourself, right, Mike?
Oh, his guard's incredible. Yeah, he goes to, like, 50-50 / X guard type of position like Pergisa likes to live in. And, Gaudio, I always say it all the time. I think he's like the most underrated jiu-jitsu athlete out there. Like, 3 years in a row on a podium at Worlds, he had close one with Galvao, close one with Pena, almost, you know, lost by an advantage to Gordon. He's
beat Keenan.
Yeah. Yeah, beat Keenan that year at Worlds. I would not be surprised. I mean, and plus you got Gaudio's training down in Miami now.
With the Fight Sports crew.
He's got a great crew. I mean, they got like 10 people that are doing ADCC in that room. He's got Cyborg running the show. It's got to be a great, it's got to be the best camp he's had in a while for a tournament, you know.
Yeah. We saw Gaudio against Kainan Duarte at Kasai Pro 6 just recently, and of course that was a points win for Kainan. Kainan hit like a nice sweep early, and you know, but then towards kind of the latter part of that match, Gaudio was picking up steam and he was going after him and stuff. And I think the combination of the wrestling plus the physicality that he brings plus the underrated technical game. Just the only thing about Gaudio's game that I don't see is that you don't see him finishing a lot of dudes.
Sure.
Right? That is the only hole. So, but I see him being difficult to score on and really giving guys problems. But yeah, that 99 kilogram division. There's a few guys who are there who are definite dark horses, right? Mm. Like Vinny Magalhães is such a dark horse.
Former champ, yeah.
Jackson Souza. I mean, he lost to Gordon at Nogi Worlds, right?
Jackson?
Yeah, in the Absolute, I believe it was.
I think he fought Cyborg in the Absolute, and Cyborg beat him.
I'll look at it.
Could be wrong, but
I'm pretty sure that Gordon got his back and choked him. Yeah, in the
you might be right.
I could be wrong.
What about at over 99? We're talking about how sometimes people have, you know, a so-so attempt and then they come back and they tear it up. What about Kainan at over 99? What are you thinking about Kainan?
Man, I'll be honest. I'm a huge fan of Kainan Duarte. We've been following him since he was a purple belt. This kid is incredible, and he is obviously one of the best new wave black belts on the scene, without argument. However, I think him going in at over 99 kilograms is about the worst possible scenario for him at ADCC. Like,
he'll
it's
be undersized.
He's definitely undersized. It's going to be really tough because Lucas Hulk Barboza and Calasans, two Atos guys, and we'll talk about that in a bit, the whole teams thing, but they're both in under 99. And of course, Lucas and Kainan do not ever want to have to face each other.
Yeah.
So they've had to split it. And with Kainan go to over 99, man, that's not good for him. He's only weighing about 215. He's not even that big. Like, he's below under 99 kilograms. So
yeah, if he was at 99, I'd like his chances a lot more. I don't know how much muscle he can put on in time, but it's by the way, Jackson did lose by RNC to Gordon in the semifinal.
You hit semifinal to Gordon, yeah.
I mean, one thing I like about Kynan is you know, obviously he's associated with IBJJF, just beat Leandro in the final of Worlds, but he's not one of these new age IBJJF guys who he's always done Nogi.
Yeah.
Purple, brown, you know, always did Nogi Worlds.
He won ADCC trials as a purple.
Yeah, Pablo Popovich, even at Nogi.
Beat Gaudio, right?
Yeah, beat Gaudio.
Brazilian trials, yeah.
And even at Nogi Pans, I mean, it's easy to forget, in the absolute final, even when he was fighting Gordon.
Against Gordon?
Oh, he was winning on points with like a minute left. Gordon took his back and choked him eventually, but I mean, that was a close match. If he would have fought a little bit more tactically there at the end, he might have been able to pull out a points victory. So.
Well, I remember Keenan and Josh Hinger were talking about this on their podcast, right? And about how Keenan had to face Kynan at the 2017 ADCC, right? So, second match, because Kynan beat Pablo Popovich by submission in his first match. But, of course, they were teammates, so they got seeded to meet in the second round. And Keenan leglocked him. And because at that time, Kynan did not have a leglock game. He was a purple belt. Just maybe got his brown, I think. And he just did not have that kind of leglock game at the time. And Keenan used it. But Keenan was very open in saying that since then, Kynan's leg lock game has actually gotten really, really good. And he is, like, we actually saw him do the heel hook escape to back take against Craig Jones at Kasai Pro this year, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He tried to bust out the Pergisa back take on Gordon at Pans, didn't he?
Came like within a hair's breadth.
Yeah, I think I have photos of him like with one hook or maybe with Gordon turtled or something. Yeah, he got close with it.
It was pretty much exactly the same thing. And then he hit like it was similar, but it was a little bit different. But he hit a very, very similar heel hook escape to back take against Craig Jones. So just goes to show that you ain't leg locking Kynan easily anymore. That's just over and done with.
Yeah, I think, you know, at this point, we're up pretty hip to the party. We know that any division that Kynan enters, he has the ability to win.
You passed Leandro Lowe's guard in the final world. It's just nuts.
He's never out of a fight. He's never out of a bracket. Like he definitely is capable of winning that one, and that's what's scary about it, because he's going to be undersized. He's going to be the youngest guy. He's going to be the least experienced guy. He's going to be all these things. But
I gotta say, hey, look at this. It's popping off in the live chat right now. We actually have some people saying, including Rene Souza. What's up, Rene from 10th Planet? some guys saying that Vinny and Gordon, Vinny's gonna take out Gordon.
Vinny beat him. Remember, he said leg locks don't work afterwards, but that was a while ago. But
yeah, who knows? When did that happen? I don't remember that match.
That was ACB.
ACB. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Definitely. You know, who knows? Vinny might have Gordon's number. That might be it. You know,
Vinny's won this tournament before. I mean,
true. So that'd be a good match. You know what's cool? I don't know if we want to talk about all the divisions, but that whole 88 kilogram division, I feel like, is just like the dark horse division.
Like
every person in that division is a dark horse. It's like.
Yeah,
we're not talking a lot about Mason Fowler. We're not talking a lot about John Blank.
Yeah.
Who else is in there? Yeah, Gabriel Almeida.
Rustam.
Rustam.
Hanger.
You know, it's like that.
Mateus Denise.
Even somebody like Kit Dale. You can't write out Kit Dale. He's a freak when it comes to Nogi. Have you ever seen his ADCC matches? They're always amazing. Like his match against Homolo last time, that was a freaking incredible wrestling match, and it was like razor thin. It's like, You cannot count this guy out. He is, yeah. But there's tons of guys like that, right?
Is this Gabriel Arge's first ADCC?
Yeah.
Wow, so there's another great debut.
I forgot Mason Fowler switched division. I mean, he does a super heavyweight in the gi, and he's all the way down to 88 for this.
Well, he dropped from under 99. He won trials, West Coast trials, under 99. He dropped to 88, which I think is a smart move because he's not a big dude, right?
Wardzinski. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Wardzinski do well. He's got a fun game to watch. He's got a killer mustache going right now. Handlebar.
Dude, I love
Adam's mustache.
I thought this the other day that Adam Wardzinski might be my favorite jiu-jitsu athlete out there. Like, I love his Kiss, going to the Kiss concert.
Yeah, he's on tour with Kiss while he's training for ADCC.
I love that dude's attitude.
It's kind of, we're talking about the 88 division, and the 88 division is they have a little bit of a problem. Now, this is something that almost every division has, and we should talk about it. It's the fact that ADCC rules stipulate that teammates must fight either first or second round.
Yeah.
And the seeding basically gets completely messed up because... It is a thing that you cannot get out of the second round. You have to face off with each other. So we looked at the brackets, and we actually did a quick head count about how many divisions has got teammates in. Let me run through it and tell you. 66 kilograms. You got six guys from two teams. Atos has got Pablo Mantovani, Bruno Frazzato, and Ty Ruotolo. And Alliance has got Gianni Grippo, Kennedy Maciel, and Ruan Alvarenga, the South American Trials winner.
And then you get another pair from 10th Planet, Krikorian and Geo. So half of the bracket is teammates.
Half of the bracket. That is incredible. So with Atos and Alliance, with three guys, that means that an opening round match is going to have to be between teammates, because then the winner of that match against his own teammate will have to face potentially his teammate in the next match.
So Juan versus Kennedy, right? Because Gianni would be the higher seed.
Probably the higher seed.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to say Bruno Frazzato versus Ty Ruotolo, because Pablo Mantovani, fourth place finisher at the last ADCC,
yeah,
is the highest seed of those three. So we already know a couple first round matches. That's crazy.
It's interesting.
Right?
They're like the only people who know who they're training for in their first fight, basically. I mean, because it's sort of got to be Kennedy versus Juan, right?
I mean, yeah. You can't put Ruan and Gianni against them in the first round, because Gianni's always such a high seed. And they literally train together in the same room, because Ruan trains at Marcelo's, right?
Yep.
Oh, he's from Marcelo's.
I think he's, you know, he goes back and forth with Brazil.
Spends a lot of time there. He's not like at another Alliance gym.
What other crazy teammate situations do you have here at the...
Okay, so 77 is pretty crazy as well, because you've got six guys from three teams. So Henzo has got Gary Tonon and Oliver Taza. They're going to have to face off second round at the latest. Gracie Baja has got a complicated one. You got two very, very close friends, Edwin Najmi and Servio Tullio. That's actually a really, really tough match as well, though. And then Alliance has got Lucas Lepre and John Satava, who won North American Trials this year. So
I remember when I was at Atos there. At 88, you got Perez and Hinger, and they were saying that they hadn't really trained at all together, hadn't really looked at each other, hadn't drilled, you know, kind of drilling on opposite sides of the mat, you know. So like they were aware, and they were taking it pretty seriously.
Well, 88 is actually one of the worst, because you've got four teams, each with two guys, 88 kilos. You just mentioned there, Hinger and Perez, both from Atos. Checkmat has got Adam Wodzinski and Gabriel Almeida. Interesting that both those guys won trials. Wodzinski won European trials, and Gabriel Almeida won South American trials. Absolute MMA, that's a possible clash of teammates right there, because you got Craig Jones and Kit Dale. Now, I know that they haven't trained together like in the same room for a while, but technically they're the same team, because Kit's been in at LA for a while now, right? He's been living in the States for a while. And Craig Jones is nowadays training at Henzo's, but technically still reps Absolute.
He doesn't rep
Henzo's when he competes, right?
No, he's still Absolute.
Right. I mean, I'm sure they got to be pretty close with each other. Probably train who knows how much time with each other back when they were both in Australia full time.
Share some of the same Australian blood. So.
Yeah.
And then there's a fourth.
There is. The fourth one is Mateus Deniz and Alec Balding, both from Alliance. So Alec Balding was a North American Trials East Coast winner, right?
Yeah, man, he looked awesome. He beat Roberto Jimenez and I believe Dan Martinez.
And then, of course, Mateus Deniz, as we know, the Kasai Pro, coming off the really, really strong performance. He's a Kasai Pro tournament winner, but just submitted Josh Hinger, Kasai Pro 6. So
with, Mateus number one in the Flow Nogi rankings too. With those, I mean, four pairs of teammates, you could start piecing that bracket together just like that.
That's half a bracket. Eight guys.
One pair in each quarter, and then fill it in from there. So,
right. But I think this is definitely the way to do it, right?
Oh, for sure.
You know, you gotta
no closeouts.
Yeah, no closeouts.
Or like, fake matches.
Exactly. You want to move on. You want to get on. Move on past the first round, or past, you know, like, make these guys fight early. It's going to make the matches more exciting, and it's gonna, you know, this is the way to do it for sure.
We are not fans of closeouts, right? Like, I know some people appreciate the fact that the strategy involved in getting two teammates to, you know,
I want to know who the best is.
Exactly.
That's what I want to know.
We don't like being denied a final, right? But can you remember the reaction one time when we had Travis Stevens here in Austin about a year and a half ago? And we asked him what he thought of closeouts. Can you remember his reaction?
I don't remember what that was.
Because he was like,
I can assume what his reaction was, but I don't remember specifically.
Wait, I asked him, like, closeouts, what do you think? And it's like there was a moment where, like, the sort of the, you know, like on your MacBook when it slows down and the beach ball is spinning, like the processor kind of freezes for a moment. And you could see, like, just Travis kind of glitching for a second, and he, because it just did not compute. It's like in judo, teammates fight all the time.
And anything.
All
like,
the time.
What other sport?
Wrestling, does it, yeah. Anything.
Yeah, tell that to the Flow Wrestling guys out there. They wouldn't even comprehend what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, we brought the wrestling guys to Worlds this year, and I think they were very confused.
They were like, why isn't there a final? Why are these two guys just going on and shaking each other's hand? And Travis was just like, his response was amazing. It was like, what? That's ridiculous. Why on earth would you do that? It's like, thank you. We agree.
And train your whole life for this moment just to give it up to somebody else.
Way to kill the atmosphere, too, for a major event, especially a Super Bowl event like ADCC. If there was, if it was half closeouts or something, or like we had at Worlds where the main match, the main event, the absolute final is a closeout.
Right.
I mean, without closeouts at ADCC, it's not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So glad that they do this way.
And there's only one other division that we've really identified actual team conflict, and that is 99 kilos, because we mentioned you got Lucas Barboza and Claudio Calsans. Even though they don't train together, different parts of the world, they are both Atos. But then you got complicated one, Checkmate, have got two guys in 99. You got Jackson Souza and Luis Panza. That's a tricky one, right?
Those guys have been teammates for a long time too,
and they're close as well, you know. Even though they don't train together regularly, they are close. So there is a possible one at over 99 as well, because Tex has been training at Lloyd Irvin's for the last couple, however long, not even sure, weeks, months. But of course, that's where Muhammad Ali is from. But interesting to note that Muhammad has, for the last week or so, a little bit longer, has been down in Miami training at the Fight Sports ADCC camp.
That's over 99? Another way you could look at it is Tex has been registering as a Barrow and Victor Hugo's in there.
Oh, yeah, good point. So, yeah, that's right. Because, you're right. The Tex has registered at competitions as Ribeiro Jiu-Jitsu, and you do have Victor Hugo. So either way, whichever one Tex turns up as, then he's a potential, we know his second round match is either Muhammad or Victor. Yeesh. Complicated, right? But
what do you think about, we're talking a lot about who we pick for the open class.
Mm.
What would be, we know they're going to face the winner of Galvao and Pena. Who do you think would be the coolest matchup for whoever wins that? Like, if Pergisa wins it, who would you want to see Pergisa fight?
Ooh, good question.
Gordon.
It's got to be Gordon, right? Yeah, Gordon going.
Or Nikki. I'd watch that too.
Nikki Ryan?
Yeah.
Nikki one,
of
the,
one of the Ryan brothers.
Yeah. I mean, Felipe.
It's got to be Gordon.
Felipe Buchecha wouldn't be as dramatic because they're friends with each other. They'd be cool with each other going up. Gordon would talk trash on Instagram for 2 years running up to that fight. It'd be good.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. You know that Felipe would block him again, right? But that is the one match that, we have to see it, right? You absolutely have to. Speaking of brothers like Nikki and Gordon, we were talking about this the other day, right? There's actually quite a lot of brothers who've competed in ADCC, but we were trying to look at it that not that many at the same time, right?
Yeah, not really. I mean, well, obviously Joao and Paulo don't both do it because
that
problem, they'd have to fight each other.
Yeah,
this is probably a problem for a lot of the brothers.
Yeah,
similar divisions. Yeah,
they have the same size
because Joao did 2013 and then Paulo Joao did 2013, Paulo did 2017, back again 2019.
I think Joao do it in Sao Paulo in 2015? No, he did not.
No, Miao Brothers at 2015. Okay. Leo Vieira, who's an ADCC legend, and Rico Vieira, they've both competed in ADCC, the two brothers, both two of the Checkmate founders, but the same event.
Two other brothers that we're missing, though.
Yeah, there's the...
Are there two brothers that we just haven't said yet?
Well, there are a few. There's, of course, the Ribeiro brothers, Salvo and Shanji.
The Ribeiro brothers.
And together, I think that we worked it out, that they have more combined matches, ADCC matches together, than any other pair, right?
I think they have 52 wins between the two of them.
That's
and like
insane.
Like 70 matches or something and 52 wins. Shanji had more. I think Shanji has 30 wins and Salo has 22.
They both. Shanji has over 40 matches in ADCC.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Wow. A lot of absolute from them and stuff, And I think they're both two-time champs, I want to say.
So do you think that, say, Nikki and Gordon together, do you think that if they keep coming back every 2 years, do you think that they could eventually break that combined win streak?
Well, if Gordon keeps – I mean, Gordon's an absolute guy. Well, it depends. It's going to – something to factor in is if Gordon wins the absolute this time, because then he's only got one match next time and potentially one match every single ADCC.
Right.
But, I mean, Nikki's so young. Nikki's like a high schooler, so he could do ADCC 10 more times. Who knows?
Good point. But he'd only get maximum four matches every 2 years.
So. I know. That's the crazy – I mean, you think about it, they really only had the maximum of eight matches. They have Shanji has 30 wins over that. That's
you never know with Nicky. I mean, Gordon used to be his size. Maybe he'll be an absolute guy in a few years, too.
Yeah, I'd love to see a 200-pound Nicky Ryan. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
Braulio and Victor Estimer as well. Mm. Those guys, they I believe they competed in the same ADCC as well, like obviously different divisions. But
so if they had 52, Gordon already has 7. You'd assume he'll get a few more this time. Maybe Nicky will get some. Yeah, I mean, it'd be tough.
It's a generation. Yeah. You know,
Well, yeah. So let's check back 15 years from now.
Well, look at Zanji was just in the last 80. I mean, he did so many of them that, I mean, yeah, if Gordon's like that and fights ADCC into his 30s, absolutely, but never know how long they're going to stick with it.
It's kind of a shame, actually, that Shanji's not back this year. He's
he was so exciting last time.
Healing up from wrist surgery, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Such a shame. He was like my favorite guy at the last one. Jumping clothes guard on Rustam and arm locking him, and that match with Buchecha, that was a war. He had another one with Gordon that was good. Like,
super close match between him and Gordon.
It's amazing to think as well that was actually the first time Shanji had ever faced Buchecha.
Really?
And and he'd always kind of said, like, not like out loud, you know, because he's not that kind of guy, but he'd always kind of said, like, you know, that if he were to face Buchecha, that he had the game plan, that he had what it took to beat him, and he almost did, man.
He took
so
it to
close,
him,
right?
By the end of it, Buchecha was exhausted.
That was such a legendary performance.
Crazy match.
Incredible.
Crazy match.
Why don't we talk about some guys who aren't ADCC, but maybe should be? Because there are quite, obviously, with ADCC being such an exclusive tournament, you either get there by qualifying, by winning one of the continental trials that they have around the world, or you get an invite. And with only 16 places in the male divisions and only 8 in the women's divisions, that means that there are more people not going to ADCC than who are. So, are there any names that jump out at you that you would have liked to have seen ADCC this year?
I think, you know, one of the best parts, or one of the funnest parts about ADCC in the past has been seeing the different types of grapplers getting in there, and especially you know, a lot of these MMA guys who have dabbled in ADCC in the past, guys like Gunnar Nelson and Damian Maya, you know, some of those type of guys. So I'd like to see Some more of those type of MMA guys, you know, a guy like Ryan Hall, he's been in ADCC in the past before
Brown
as well.
Yeah.
But I'd love, you know, I think, yeah, Kron Gracie, Ryan Hall. I think some.
I'd love to see any of those guys come back because they all have like pretty solid ADCC history, right? And to kind of see them come back and maybe try some of the new guys, you know, the modern generation.
We got to do the rematch, Gary Tonin versus Kron Gracie. Like,
oh, yeah. Yes, please.
Like, we need, before it's all said and done, I mean, like, life in general, we need to see Kron versus Gary again. But
maybe it'll, like, take place, like, 20 years from now, like Hoyler,
Eddie
Bravo did.
Yeah, I'll still take it.
Like, 15 years later, they finally do it. But
yeah.
Speaking of, like, MMA guys, I guess he's an MMA guy now. Do you think, what about AJ? Do you think he regrets pulling out after Cobrinha? I mean, Cobrinha was in there, who's the guy who beat him in the final last time, and Cobrinha pulls out. AJ would be the number one seed if he stayed.
He would have been the number one seed, yeah. How crazy is that?
I mean, you look at that. Look at the 66 bracket, and you stack up AJ's name against a lot of those guys. You know, AJ's got he does well in the ADCC rule set, you know?
Really,
so
he
had
to favors his game.
He'd be one of the favorites to win, so I am a little disappointed not to see AJ back to try to get his gold medal.
And he's all about that MMA life now, right? Training with the Diaz brothers, and he's got a fight on Bellator coming up in...
I almost don't even recognize him anymore.
Yeah, AJ, where did you go?
Well, he's got a good style for it, too, because at 66, there's not really anybody that's going to out-wrestle him, really, right?
Yeah, right.
And then on top, he's scrappy, he's tough to sweep, no gi, and just doesn't tap to anything.
Yeah,
could just be
squirrel.
The weight cut. Yeah. I'm not even sure if he can get to 145 anymore.
True.
Excuse me. 66 is such a huge weight cut, and 77, obviously, Gracie Baja have already got two guys in at 77, so I'm not sure it'd even be possible to see him back, but I don't know if AJ's even repping Gracie Baja anymore.
True.
That's one of the kind of through the grapevine we've heard, and well, I'll have to ask him to confirm, but we heard that he's not even repping Gracie Baja. He's all about Diaz brothers now.
Nick Diaz Academy, huh? Nick Diaz Army, I should say.
Askren would be an exciting MMA guy.
What about Askren, right?
Ben Askren did compete in ADCC.
Yeah.
What happened?
Long time ago.
He's got to be better at subs by now. He's been doing MMA for a long time.
Yeah, I want to say it was 2009?
Yeah.
2007? Yeah, he fought Pablo Popovich. in 2009.
He's quick done, one. He's, you blink, you might miss it.
I think he's done some UWW grappling worlds too, so he's got some experience.
He lost by toehold to Pablo Popovich.
That's yeah. a tough one for you. I mean, yeah, what was that?
Tough.
That was 2009.
2009, 10 years ago.
At this point, he's got 10 more years of training submissions with his MMA career and everything.
True.
And he is a solid grappler. ADCC rules. I think that you
Olympian.
Yeah, he'd be a lot more. He'd be a lot more savvy to those kind of attacks now. But I'd like. There's a couple of kind of guys there are a few jiu-jitsu guys in MMA that I'd love to see kind of come and, you know, try their hand at ADCC rules. Somebody like Ari Farias, I'd love to see him in ADCC rules.
Under 66, he'd be up there.
He'd
one
be
of the
really
favorites.
Good.
He's never done it? He's never done it?
No, he's never done ADCC.
That's surprising to me that he's never done it.
The only problem is he's Atos, and as we already mentioned, they already have like three guys in under 66, so no room, maybe 2 years from now. One guy, he's not even like really... sort of, he doesn't have like grappling credentials, but everybody knows him as a jiu-jitsu guy in MMA, and that's Brian Ortega.
T-City. Check that out.
Submission machine, got some really funky finishes, and repping Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, training with Henna Gracie, so I'd love to see him come in and try a pure grappling format.
Yeah, I was hoping that somebody, there would be somebody in ADCC repping the Gracies, repping the Gracie name, repping Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
There isn't anybody this year, right? There's not one Gracie in the lineup this time. I mean, last ADCC we had, of course, we had Henzo in the super fight. The 2015 ADCC, you had Neiman Gracie was competing. So no Gracies on the at all this year. It's kind of the same, right?
They've had a few of them won it. Hoyler won it a few times. Henzo won it a couple of times. Hodger won it. Kira won it three times.
When was Kira?
I think Kira and Hoyler were both three-time champs.
Kira's last ADCC performance was 2011. She hasn't competed since. Yeah, but she's a three-time ADCC winner.
So
yeah.
Crown won it. Kira and Hoyler won it three times. Hodger won it. Henzo won it twice.
Rogerio? Is it? No, what? No, Rogerio. Oh, God. Rodrigo. Rodrigo Gracie is an ADCC champion.
Yeah, they've accounted for maybe like close to... around 10 titles between them for the family. But yeah, nobody this time.
So that's a little surprising, right?
Yeah. Hoyler, Henzo, Roger.
I mean, Gordon is like...
Rodrigo won 88 kilograms all the way back in 1998.
Yeah, so maybe I think six of them have won it. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Kron, of course. But the last time a Gracie won a gold medal, not in a super fight, in ADCC, it was 2013 when Kron won in China.
Mark my words, next one to win is going to be Jonatas Gracie.
Who we should say technically is not a Gracie. Gracie is just like one of his middle names,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think his dad liked the Gracies and named him after him, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Son, crazy. I'm picking your career now.
Yeah, I guess it worked
out. It's on your birth certificate. You can't get away from it. So. That's so funny, right? And people genuinely get confused by that, right? They're like, who's this Gracie I've never heard of? And it's like, well, that's...
Neiman would be a good addition to that, maybe 88 kilogram division or something like that. You know, I think
he did 2015.
Did 2015?
Yeah, he got savagely kimura'd by Homolo. Yeah, but I'd like to see him back. I think he'd be great.
Yeah, he's got his budding MMA career is taken off. Just main evented the Madison Square Garden card in Bellator. So
yeah,
You got a couple girls at under 66, you could have Tammy or Toledo, but I mean it's tough because the brackets are half the size. There's not as many invites, so it's like, who would you even take out of the invites there if you're going to put them in? Because there's, let me see,
there's only a couple invites.
Yeah, like
two or three invites. So
Elvira, Basilio, and Fionn were the invites, and I don't think you can really take any of those three out. Really,
it's tough to argue against any of them, right? Yeah. Bianca, she
took
a silver medal
last time. Yeah.
Elvira beat McKenzie, yeah. and Fionn obviously has done a lot. That's, you know, she competed
world champion.
There, but yeah, exactly. So she's done a lot in the last year or so. But I do know that they've got like their eye on a couple of alternates for the under 60 kilogram division.
It's an interesting division right there. You know, obviously you got Bia kind of standing and lording over the top of that division, but a lot of young talent, a lot of young girls gunning for her.
And I was surprised. I was putting together the women's preview thing, and I was watching Jenna Bishop from the trials, and she was just stomping people.
Yes,
Jenna Bishop
was
on fire at that tournament, just tapping everybody.
Nikki in the finals? Is that the finals?
I can't remember. She submitted to Aaron Hurley, I believe. She submitted everybody.
Yeah, I think she kneeballed Nikki Sullivan in the final. Yeah.
You know,
but yeah, she looked great, and she's coming into this with some good momentum. So,
and we haven't seen. I mean, I haven't really seen Elvira in a little while, but you got.
She did Subversive.
Yeah,
she heel hooked Patty Fontes at Subversive.
That's a good win.
Yeah.
See, but I think Elvira's going to be gunning this time, and like Fionn has just been on fire ever since she got her black belt. And
you know, so the biggest issue with the women's division, the under 60 kilogram. Well, actually, this is an issue with both of the divisions.
The weight, that,
exactly. The weight category is so huge.
Rikako.
You've got Rikako and Livia Giles, who are both
roosters,
like rooster-like featherweights, going up against people such as Beatrice, who told us that she's cutting a lot of weight to get down to 60 kilos. So 60 is what? It's like 133 or something like that? 132? Something like that. So 132.2. So, you know, that potentially, that's like a 20-25 pound weight difference in some of these athletes. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then, of course, that goes the other way in the over 60 kilogram division. You got Gabby Garcia, who's potentially 70 pounds, you know, or more, 80 pounds bigger than some of these other girls.
Well, Baby's in there. Baby Vieira's in there. How much bigger is Gabby than Baby? Yeah. I mean, that's a big size difference.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I'd have to say, looking at the girls who are you know, in there for the women's over 60 kilogram division, I don't think there's anybody less than 150 pounds. I'd say that Baby is probably, and when we say Baby, sorry, we mean Anna Karenina.
I mean, if you're under 150, you got to cut to the 130 or whatever, right? Like, why would you fight Gabby Garcia if you're
Yeah. I'd say that she Anna Karenina Vieira is probably the smallest of all those competitors, and she's probably a blown up 145er, you know? So it's tough, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's got to beat potentially Tayani and Gabby Garcia in back to back matches to make her way through that bracket. That's
Tayani, who's going to be 260, Gabby, who's going to be minimum, like both of those are minimum 260, if not more. Karina Santi is probably a solid 180.
And she's Tiani's a solid. Santi is really strong.
She's freaking jacked, yeah. Nachielli is, obviously, she's long and lanky, but she's got to be a good 175, you know, 170, 175. Jessica Flowers is pushing 180. Those are big girls, right?
Yeah. I don't think Nachielli loses to Gabby. I think you know, they've had two matches now. They're 1-1, but this last one, I feel like Nachielli just gained so much confidence from it. I feel like it's going to be one of those things where
she knows what to expect,
she knows,
right?
What to expect and what to do.
No gi, though, with this one.
True.
I mean, Nachielli was always utilizing the grips
that
and everything to
true.
Control the difference. A little bit different than, like, no gi, where you don't have any grips to keep the difference. And then Gabby gets to your head and it's just over with. She just flattened you out, smashed you, Americana or whatever, you know.
And she can get away with a lot in no gi because she can just rip out. Like, she'll stack, she'll, you know, lean forward and stuff. But, you know, there's one name in that over 60 kilogram division that I think is a potential dark horse, and that's Amanda Levy. Mm-hmm. She won the North American Trials on West Coast, and she looked great in doing so, right? She's got a lot of experience. Black belt in the Ricardo Almeida / Henzo Gracie network, and based in Philly, super tough MMA experience. A lot of no-gi and gi grappling, but
I don't know much about her. How big is she, like, compared to these? Is she, like, Baby size or Baby Vieira size or Gabby Garcia
or
size?
Yeah, I'd say 160. Yeah. So she's kind of undersized compared to a lot of these others, but she's solid. She's strong. Very physical.
The armbar, that little kind of, like, flying armbar she hit on the finals at West Coast Trials was one of the sickest submissions
that was really nice.
We saw that day.
I don't think that's the first time that she's
hit
that either,
yeah,
right?
She likes that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've seen her hit it on Fight to Win or something too.
Oh, beautiful. Man, there's a lot of guys that I would love to see in ADCC coming up. But this is why it is the best no-gi grappling tournament
world. Like, it's like right around the corner, man. Ever since ADCC 2017, we've been looking forward to this one. We knew it was going to be in LA. We knew
it's
it was going to be
on Saturday, man.
We knew it was going to be bigger and badder than it's ever been before. Having Seth involved in a production, you know, just hearing what Mo has planned week after week. Man, I just cannot believe we're days away from this competition, and it being every other year, you know, like there's just something special about it that's just hanging over. I just cannot wait for this thing to go off. It's 2 days. It's gonna go by quick. But man, I just, like, I'm so jacked for it. I'm so excited for it.
Well, there's just an aura about it. Just
there really
there is.
This
thing. Like, me and Chase were talking about it. And one thing, like, you know, talk about guys who are IBJJF world champions, but you win ADCC, it just takes you to a whole another level. It's just a whole nother, you're basically a legend.
There's a very select group of people who can claim to be an ADCC champion, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It transcends jiu-jitsu, you know. It goes beyond the world of jiu-jitsu. It goes beyond to the MMA sphere, to the, you know, just combat sports in general. The wrestlers, like, everybody knows about this, I feel like, and it's a It's a feather.
Well, we're going to be doing some pretty cool stuff in between now and then as well. We've got a couple trips lined up. Reed, you're going to Miami next week to hit up the Fight Sports ADCC training camp.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit about it. You know, and like you just had to go check out what those guys are doing over there because they have those mats look packed.
Yeah, they got a killer lineup. They got a guy at every division. They got Tom Halpin, 66, Wagner Hocha, 77, Durinho, 88, Gaojo, 99, and then over 99, you've got Cyborg, and of course, the addition to Muhammad Ali for the last couple of weeks, and you've got Anna Carolina Vieira at the over 60 kilogram. Michael and I, next week, we're going to be flying to New York. We're going to go hit up Unity.
Our boys, Marilo Santana, Meow
Paolo
Brothers.
Meow, and Dylan Dennis are all in ECC, and we may see some warm-up matches at Nogi Pans as well, right?
Yeah, Gianni's at Nogi Pans. More guys are sliding in there. I'll be interested. Tex and Gianni are definitely two ADCC guys that are at Nogi Pans. Wow. I checked this morning. There was a few more names in there.
Love it.
I'm excited for New York. Go out there, work at Unity.
Yeah, it's always really cool to visit that gym.
Hopefully get Joao Miao to cook me up some of this vegan food he puts on his Instagram story all the time. Looks delicious.
Yeah,
that's
right?
That's not real.
Just speaking of Nogi Pans, actually, he's coming up really soon, and it's kind of cool because we're seeing some brand new black belts breaking through onto the Nogi scene as well, right? I've seen guys like Junior Ocasio, who had a standout performance taking second there at Kasai Pro 6.
Malachi.
Got Malachi in the same division. That's really cool. And
Jonathan Gracie's at middle or medium heavy now for Nogi Pans, last I saw.
Nice. Yeah, we've
got some Vitor Oliveira signed up, too. I saw Vitor Oliveira slid in there at middleweight.
Oh, guys, Italo there. Of course, Italo won.
Italo Jefferson.
Against Janiel in the gi in his very first black belt tournament. How crazy is that?
Italo Jefferson and Wilson from Unity are all competing at black belt for that one.
Nah, you got Johnny Tamer is in there. Vitor Oliveira. You got Felipe Silva. You got some tough guys. Jefferson Guarezi as well from Unity. He's a new black belt too, right?
Yeah, they all got promoted after Worlds. All those.
I didn't know Jefferson got promoted too.
Yeah, Jefferson. Mm-hmm. The same day that Taliesin did. Jefferson, Jonas, Wilson, Italo, all of them got it.
I noticed that Valdir Araujo is signed up at medium heavy. That's Baby Monster, for those of you who are not sure. He's the guy that has a couple of beast matches there on Kasai Pro. He was on the Kasai Pro 5 light heavyweight tournament, right, after winning the qualifier. And who did he face in Orlando? He had a really good super fight as well, right?
Mateus Lutz.
Mateus Lutz, that's right. Yeah, that was a crazy, crazy
Almost
match.
Finished it at the very end. A
couple more new black belts there. Jake Watson and Jonathan Gracie in that medium-heavy division. We're talking Nogi
Jake
Pans
Watson's
now.
Had some pretty good momentum behind him the last couple of months since he got his black belt as well, right?
Shout out Jake Watson.
Stanley Roser, of course. He was a silver medal at the ADCC Trials.
Yeah. Charles McGuire.
Thiago Saad, heavyweight. Charles McGuire at heavyweight.
Devonte, of course, in its super heavy as well. And
Devonte's in there now.
He is,
That's interesting.
You got Tex and Ultra. So very interesting. Very, very interesting. So Nogi Pans, a little warm-up for...
a little preview.
Yeah, getting in the mood for some Nogi,
get your Nogi
action,
fix,
right? Exactly. All right, guys. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure, once again, to talk about all things ADCC. And if you didn't know, now you know, it's 23 days today. Until ADCC. We count them off.
Let's go.
See you guys next time.